there, everybody, and welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. This is show number 152, and it's March 21st, 2006. We're recording right now at the Little Ranch House Studio on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining. All, of course, designed with the blind in mind. The host for the Blind Handyman Show, ladies and gentlemen, Don Shaw.
Yeah, Mr. Tom, on this nice, second day of spring?
Oh, yeah.
Sunny.
First day of yesterday. Okay.
Good weather. Yeah,
isn't
man.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, it is.
So
I'm glad
good
to see
out
it.
There. Don Patterson.
Yeah, sir. Well, this weather could be kind of deceiving. We still are waiting our little Easter snap. At some point, it gets cool, and then I guess it'll be summertime before you know it.
I think probably before we want it. Here's yep. the host. My name is Tom Houston, by the way, but here's the guy that created this thing. He produces it also. His name is Phil Parr, and here he is. I need to keep reading my script.
Pretty exciting. Yes, sir. Here we are. It is a gorgeous day today.
It just is a fine day.
Lovely day. It's about 65 degrees and excuse me, pretty just sunshine.
As long as that wind doesn't blow.
Yesterday, the first day of spring was miserable. Big time rain, yep. heavy, hearty rain. I saw it came in the studio at 8:45 to do an interview. Came out at 9:45, sun was shining.
Yeah, it's almost like, March reconsidered. You know, it comes in like a lamb or a lion. It's like two-thirds through, and it's like it tried to re-enter.
Yeah, no kidding. That's the truth.
It was terrible. The rain was blowing sideways at my house.
Yeah.
Coming right out of the southeast.
See, we're not used to that. Since I interviewed a guy in Boston, and I said, it's raining here. And he said, well, if there's any precipitation falling here, it wouldn't be rain.
Did you know it snowed today in Nebraska? Heavy snow.
Is that right?
I saw on the news, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, second day of spring.
Man.
Anyway, it's almost over. In about middle April, it'll be so hot, you know, from there and then till September that you can't really go outside.
Yeah.
But that's where it is in Texas, friends. Yes, sir. All right. Excuse me. It's the exciting Blind Handyman Show. What else is going on? Pat's got his trusses. You're about ready to accept your...
I believe I'm going to receive those trusses on Monday. I guess everybody's kind of keeping abreast. I built the framed in for what's going to be a dog pen / workshop on one end. Open air. It's not going to be closed in as far as walls. It's going to have a roof. We're trying to keep the theme going out at our place of the shingled roof that matches the house and the other garages. And then we got the pavilion. So, oddly enough, both structures were 20 by 40. Sounds like I planned it that way. And then I ordered each one will accept a 21 trusses that sit on 24-inch centers. And so I ordered 42 of those puppies, and they should arrive here by truck from someplace in Louisiana.
Wow. This is going to make four separate structures out there at Bear Claw, right?
Well, we've got the house, and then the two garages are actually attached to each other, but they were separate. That's two structures. Then the dog pen it will be the third, and the pavilion will be four, yes.
Yeah, that's what I said. Four.
Yes, and then
different
structures.
Four. What else? What else are you gonna? You
that's
do?
It. I guarantee. All
you
I want to do is play the accordion.
Well, you'll want the barn.
No, sir. We have no livestock. I know some of our kids have horses and stuff. I've tried to discourage. I'm wearing my new shiny T-shirt today that the Twinsers bought me for keeping their little dog while they were gone on spring break. Because that wasn't necessary. Actually, I wanted money, but no.
Yeah.
And so, but anyway, her other kids have horses, and I'm not going to get into that. You notice in all of the structures, I did not mention corral.
Yeah, no corral or horse pens.
Hey, you'll need the barn, the corral.
I bet you see a horse or two around there from time to time.
We see once in a while people riding, and actually, you know, we all know and love Paul Abney, the hardware guy, and his son lives, I could throw a rock.
Yeah, just right over there.
1,000 yards from us, and Paul Abney keeps his horse out there, and he comes riding. Like every Sunday, he and the First Bank and Trust guy and two or three others ride, have for years.
I know out near my house on Morris Road there in Dieball, they have a couple of people that board horses and stuff. And they're in front of my house all the time. I mean, I see 10, 12 different horses all the time.
Man.
Well, you'll need to, Pat, you'll need the bunkhouse.
Yeah, that could be another structure.
Empty saddles with the old... I'm sorry. all right, I guess we'll move along to some handyman email here from off the handyman list at... handyman-subscribe at yahoogroups.com.
When is the last really email we've written? We need to give a prize for somebody that sends...
We don't have an email address.
We don't?
No.
No more email addresses. No.
Okay. That's why it'd be hard to do.
It would. It'd be really hard to do.
Here's a guy says, hi, gang. I have an electric garage door opener that I have to hold a button down to make it open. Otherwise, it stops about midway while opening. Are there any suggestions as to what may be causing this and how to fix it?
Yeah.
Adjustment.
Guy's name is Dale.
There's all kind of adjustments on a garage door, but I've never been able to get one to work perfectly. I mean, mine goes down almost all the way and then starts back up for some reason. And I've never been able... But there are a couple of adjustments up there on the deal. I think there's an adjustment... that will see if it hits something, it's supposed to go back up. But you can set that, you can actually turn that off, or you can make it real sensitive where if it just touches something, it'll go back up.
Yeah.
And then you can adjust how far it goes down.
Yeah, the travel length.
The travel
usually
length.
Two screws for adjustments. And
my experience started 2 years ago when we built our house, and they put in our first two garages, the detached and the one at the house, that you could push the button and the garage door will go down, but you could punch it again and it would stop right where it was.
Yeah.
Then you had to punch it again, and of course then it would go up, but you could stop it. On my new garage that I just finished, and then I wasn't asked which kind, I just assumed they were going to put the same kind in. Well, this company no longer handles that particular kind, and now this one, if it's on its down track and you push the button, it will not stop. It just instantly goes back up, which makes me mad because you have to wait till it's coming down again, or you have to let it all the way down and then start it back up to stop it. And I leave my door open about a foot in certain place for the cats and dogs. And the guy, I called him complaining, and I said, I wanted the original. Anyway, he says, well, you can program it. I don't know if it's like got a little mini computer. Anyway, nobody bothered.
Then.
He sent a technician out there, and the guy said, no, you can't program it. That's the way these work. They go down, and if you stop it on the down cycle, it's going to instantly go back up, and there's nothing you can do about it.
So they've changed them over the years. Yeah. So swap door openers and put the old one out in the new garage.
Oh, I wouldn't know. Now the new garage, you have to catch it going up to stop it in mid flight. You cannot stop it on the down side.
Man, I haven't put mine down so long, I've forgotten. But it seemed like you could just stop it. But if you push the button again, it goes up.
It goes up, right. That's the way my first two do, which I like, because you have total control. You can...
That's true.
You know, but...
You can stop this one, and seems like if you push it again, it starts back up rather than going on back. Look like it'll just go on down.
And my new one also, in difference to the other one, and they claim this is a security thing, is if you walk across the opening and break the beam, the light comes on.
Yeah,
the little light, and then it goes off. Well, see, they say that's a security thing, but I don't know who it would secure from. Normally when you close or open the door, the light comes on and stays on for a length of time. But now this one, if I'm out in the yard in broad daylight or a dog runs across there, I go out there at noon and sometimes the light's on, and it's all triggered by this.
I just don't know. But anyway, there are adjustments on there, and you can start adjusting them. But just remember where you started, because if you don't, you're going to get... I spent an entire morning one time standing, on this thing, adjusting. I find it, to hell with it. But, remember, look at it. Get it's probably a slotted screwdriver. And so put a piece of tape on the top of the screwdriver and try to remember where you are when you started, because there you can really get them screwed up if you're not careful. Go ahead, Houston.
Okay, here's a guy that says, hi all, I live in a house built in the early 20s. It needs a paint job, and the bids I've gotten have been $15,000, $17,000, and $20,000.
I remember this post.
I've decided that's way too much, and I need to do some of the prep work myself, and so I have a few questions. I have 1x12 wood on the house, which will have to be scraped and sanded. The last paint job looks like it might have been put on over peeling paint, so several layers that need to come off.
Yeah.
I think I can handle that part. just spend the rest of my life sanding and scraping.
That's about
it. It's a two-story house, so that part will take a long time. How about primer? Has anybody who's blind ever applied primer? And how did that go? I guess it needs to be brushed on. I've never done that before. I'm not going to attempt the paint, but I wondered if I might be able to do the primer part.
I don't know why not.
Well, first of all, on this prep, I don't know. I would check the integrity of the wood, and I certainly wouldn't want to, you know, to send him in the wrong direction. But they power wash. They wood. If you don't have, I mean, you can hire somebody. I mean, or in your case, rent a washer, a power washer, and knock that paint off of there.
Yeah, you could. You can. That'd be the easiest way to do it, but he, probably being totally blind, he'd have a hard time doing that, because he wouldn't know where he was aiming. I mean, it'd be almost a blind, unfriendly thing. If you got a sighted wife...
Well, I'd say this, I think he might do less damage with the power washer blind than he will with the primer blind.
it could be the whole thing.
You think primer, you don't think he can put the primer on?
Well, I mean, primer, yeah, and you can use a roller. Boy, on those 1x12 boards, I don't know how much they overlap. You know, obviously that's some kind of size. I don't know if they're vertically or horizontal.
But is that boxing bat or bat reverse boxing bat, or what is it?
I don't know. I mean, at night in the 20s, I don't know if they're long, you know, laid horizontal. But you could, you know, if you wouldn't get too close to your windows, leave that to someone else. But you could actually just count boards and say, I'm going to go and say, put you a piece of tape. If it's just boards.
Yeah. We assume they're horizontal.
Yeah.
Or vertical.
You could put you a piece of tape, say, on your right side or mark where the window, the first window, and all in that, count boards. Say, like, go down 6 boards from the top. But if it's a two-story house, man, you're going to be talking scaffolds.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be a...
I mean, I can understand the $15,000 fee, but I don't know how you would negotiate scaffolding and...
Oh, that wouldn't bother, you know, I don't know why not.
Well, I mean, a two-story house, he's going to have to... Surely he doesn't have that in his garage. He's going to have to go rent that, and then for how long? How long would
the project take to go around the house?
I guess he's figuring he's on the extension.
I think rather than to prepping, I think to get it ready for the primer, first thing I would do is hire someone to power wash it. If you know, with their opinion that can the wood withstand it?
Yeah, what kind of shape is the wood in?
What kind of shape? And then after that, I would consider the...
This guy's name, I think, Tom, is Jim, isn't
it? Yes,
sir. And actually, we're going to talk about that here in a week or two. Actually, he's lined up to be a guest here on the show, and we're going to talk about that very subject here in a while and see if he's gotten it started or how it's going or what's going with that project.
That will be interesting.
$15,000 sounds like it's a lot of money to paint a house. My God.
It must be huge. It
must be an immense house. Did you not know this before you bought this, Jim, my boy?
Well, and obviously that was the painters and them prepping it, probably. So like he said, if he could do that, but I would hire, you could surely get somebody to power wash it for $300 or $400 and start there, and then...
In other words, wash all that old paint off.
Get that off for them, and then try to, you know.
Yeah, that surely should save.
Yeah, surely. Power washer, because you can buy, a power washer is about $300, aren't they?
About that. Yeah, Sears has one for less than $3.
Yep.
You have one, don't you, Phil?
I do. Hate to tell you what I paid for it.
But you can regulate the pressure to some degree, right?
On mine?
Yeah.
You certainly can.
The output. So, in other words, if the wood was flat, you wouldn't want to do it like you might do brick.
Yeah,
but
that's
you
true.
Could get, I have seen them steam clean or wood before. Wood side. In fact, that's where the paint bubbles and peels the most. That's usually what needs it the most.
It's what?
The wood.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so, I mean, and that would save all that sanding.
If he could pressure wash.
Yeah.
Or hire somebody to pressure wash.
That's exactly what the guy used on my two decks at the house, a pressure washer to clean the wood.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then, but on your decks, he just put some stain, right?
After he got through, he stained it after it dried.
All right, well, good luck, Jim. We'll look forward to having you as a guest on the show. Go ahead, Tommy.
Okay. He says, hi, guys. I figured one or some of you have attempted this. My dad gave me a little old Craftsman lawnmower, and being a little daring, I figured I would give it a try. That backyard isn't really that difficult. I can hear the fence in the house, and so I know where I'm getting close to them.
Yeah?
I kind of just go forward and backwards and go back to the front. My wife hasn't got home yet to tell me if I, to tell me what it looks like. It might be interesting. The front might be a little more challenging, though. It's pretty much square, and I guess if my neighbor isn't parked in his driveway, it might work. Yeah, I know it's overkill to have a tractor to mow a regular neighborhood lawn, but if my wife did it, it would be damned easy and quick. Maybe, plus it was free. Any thoughts?
Well, his daddy gave him a tractor?
Yeah, it's a riding lawnmower.
So he's mowing the lawn with his riding lawnmower. What's wrong with that? You're a good and brave man, except that the only thing you hadn't thought of is once you do this, it will be your job.
Yeah, from then on, you might be stuck with it.
From then on, stud bud, it's your deal to do. You'll be out there, you know, in that 98-degree June morning, July morning, mowing your lawn. Of course, if you know, when I was his age, I guess it's a young guy, hear the fence and hear the house so he won't run into either one. And if you do, what are you going to hurt?
Yeah, and most of those type vehicles, you can put them kind of in the creepy crawler mode, so you could do you a little rope system up close to your fence. I have a little bigger tractor than your Craftsman, but, I mean, it will creep. I can make it, I mean, and so sometimes I am actually holding on to the fence as I go down it, and I sort of measure my, I can see my mower deck, which obviously you cannot. And so that, but I kind of hold on to the fence and kind of just keep, that helps me with my distance.
Oh, yeah, you can add along slow.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I'm going like a foot, knows, I'm just barely creeping. Yeah. So good luck. I mean, just get the neighbor to move. You know, go over there and threaten him. If you don't move that car,
I'll run into it with my
tractor. Anyway.
I'll run into it with my tractor. But I don't know why the neighbor's car in the driveway wouldn't make any difference, is what I didn't figure out.
Well, I guess he's got a close property. Most driveways, I guess, a subdivision or something.
Or just get your neighbor to move the car, and when you roll up to the other driveway, when you know you're there, you'll know it's the end
Turn around.
Or tell the neighbor you'll move the car if he'll mow.
Get Mama when she comes home from work to tell you what you missed and go back and catch it up. It'll be your job. Once a week, you'll be out there, big boy. Cold beer in hand with your little tractor.
Yep.
All right. At APH makes a nice portable machine. Read a talking book while you're... All right, let's do... who's the guest, though, Donald?
The guest today is Jeff Kissiker from North Dakota.
We've had old Jeff on before once.
He's been on before, but it's been a while.
Well, let's have him again. We'll be back.
Sounds like he plays the accordion.
He sounds like he ought to, doesn't he?
Yeah.
We'll do him in just a minute and more of our little show we call The Blind Handyman. Hang on.
It's somewhere over here. Oh, God, I've got my cane caught in something.
Pardon me, sir. I don't know how to tell you this, but the end of your cane is stuck in my...
Why bother shopping the big discount stores when you can shop from the comfort of your own home at BlindMySmart.com?
Hi, this is Dale Campbell, president of BlindMySmart. If you can't find what you're looking for today, check back tomorrow. We're adding new products every day.
BlindMySmart, with thousands of products at a completely accessible website. Our address is BlindMySmart.com. Again, that's www.blindmysmart.com. Do you know about the Blind Handyman Listserv?
The thing I like the best about the Blind Handyman List, great place to exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
I found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the Handyman List. And it works.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman List, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
The thing I like about the Blind Handyman List, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line. Stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. You are listening to The Blind Handyman.
the talk of the blind community. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now, here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
You know, we've got to take that Hotmail address off because it isn't any good anymore. It doesn't work anymore. We haven't had that Hotmail address in a year.
I try to stay right on top of things.
Well, we do. We're right to just stay. Well, we need to find the original of those or get Jack to redo them. That's Jack Gardner from Reno, Nevada, our announcer there. Get him to redo them or something. Jeff Kisker, sir, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I've been better, but I think I may make it. And you work at Department of Human Services?
That's correct.
What do you do there?
I manage the Business Enterprise Program, Randolph Shepherd Program.
Oh, okay. All right.
Work with assistive technology quite a bit.
So you've got lots of blind folks with stands up there, quite a few.
Well, we've got about eight or nine stands, yeah.
Is that
for
right?
For South Dakota, that ain't bad.
But you'd rather be where you are than run a stand, huh?
Yeah, it's less individual pressure.
Well, there was a little hesitation there, Jeff. I didn't know whether we were going to get by that.
A little more political.
Yeah, a little more political, I suppose. Well, it's good to have you. I think you've been on once or twice before, hadn't you?
Yeah, it's been a couple of years since I've been on.
Been a little while. Well, we're glad to have you back. North Dakota.
South Dakota.
South Dakota. By God, it's cold up there, isn't it?
It's about 27 today, and we got about a foot of snow on the ground.
A foot of snow? Oh, my heavens.
So come on out. We need some shovelers.
I imagine you do. South Dakota, is that a pretty populated state? I mean, what are going to have many people?
About 870,000.
Is that right? Not a million people?
No.
Now, am I wrong? Is South Dakota the state that passed you can't have an abortion, I don't care what happened to you, law?
Yes.
Well, we don't want to get into that.
No, we don't.
No, we don't. We don't want to discuss that.
I had nothing to do with it.
He had nothing to do with it. I'm glad to hear that. That would be good.
Spoken like a true loyal bureaucrat.
Yeah.
That's right. Noncommittal.
I think I work for government, will you?
Take no stands.
Yeah, take no stands.
Or stance.
The stance. Well, Don Shaw's back from making a little run. Don,
yeah.
Say hi to Jeff.
You a little promise. Drink run there. Hi, mm-hmm. Jeff. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Don.
All right, what was going to be our topic today, since we got off on the auspicious start here? What were we going to talk about?
I think just some miscellaneous stuff. I guess since the last time I talked with you guys, I put an underground sprinkler system in my yard.
You put it in yourself?
Neighbor and I did, yeah.
All right.
I just got through with one of those about 6 months ago.
Did you rent the trencher, or did you just sort of hand...
No, I rented a trencher and kind of mapped it all out. It was kind of nice. One of the supply stores around here will supply you with the diagrams and everything and measurements as long as you buy the stuff from them.
Okay, all right.
So did you use something like Rainbird or, you know, there's several sprinkler systems that tell you if you give them the square footage and the layout, they'll...
Yeah, that software.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't do it myself. I gave them the diagram and measurements of the area, and then they do it and then zone it out for you, and so you know how many
right.
things
yeah.
on each zone.
How many heads you? How many right. sprinkler heads?
In what radiuses? And some of them go full circle, or some of them go half circle, or
right. And what nozzle to use on them? That kind of thing.
Yeah, so this was at your house or your neighbor's house?
My house.
Your house.
And it took about 3 days total to get it done.
Yeah. Use, of course, PVC pipe.
Yeah, poly.
Yeah, it says you had probably learned long ago how to glue, how to clean and glue that.
Well, some of the sprinkler systems use a hose, just a solid tubing that you don't glue.
Yeah, it's polyethylene. Pipe.
Yeah, it's
a 1-inch polyethylene.
Yeah, isn't it flexible? I mean, it goes around corners. I mean, you don't have to have joints. You just
really?
You don't have to, but if you kink it, you're screwed. Cut it and redo it, but.
Yeah, do they make joints that go, elbows that go with it or not?
Yeah. You can put elbows in it and extenders and the risers, come in different sizes and that kind of thing. But it was well worth the time. It was hard work, but it was well worth it because I saved about $2,500 off of paying somebody else to do it.
Yeah, I bet you.
Yeah. Or how much area have you got?
Just looking at that the other day, I've got 5,200 square feet.
So you're like a city lot, a city
yeah.
type.
Yeah.
So how many sprinkler heads did you, I mean, is this front and backyard?
Yeah, the full yard.
So what did you wind up with? How many heads?
How many heads?
Yeah.
I think right around 30.
Goodness.
Good Lord.
Whoa. All right, so let me ask you this to start off with. Did you go, I mean, are you like the remote control, I mean, the automatic? Did you do that whole thing? Or you put in the set?
I put in the controller and the Orbit equipment is what I used. And I put in the controller.
An elaborate system, it sounds like.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's programmed to go off, you know, however often I want it to for as long as I want it to. And trying to keep my 11-year-old son in business mowing the lawn.
Yeah, well, it's going to take more of that.
Let me ask you this, Jeff. What is the grass that does the best? What lawn do you have? What?
Up there,
it's a mixture up here of bluegrass and I forget the name of it now. A rye grass.
Is it akin maybe to Bermuda, something thin leaf? Very thin.
Yeah, it's a pretty thin leaf.
I mean, St. Augustine's.
A lot of bluegrass goes well here.
St. Augustine's not going to do there, right?
Nope.
Yeah. Right.
But, man, 32 heads, that sounds like. Is that what they told you? That sounds like overkill for your.
Well, you know, I'm just kind of guessing right now because I don't remember.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I. It's probably closer to like 24 or 25.
That sounds better.
My front yard is pretty good size. There's nine heads just on that.
Mm-hmm. But it's awful cold up there, and grass wouldn't start growing until probably the middle of May or the first of May, would it?
About the middle of April.
The middle of April. The snow finally melts in the middle of April. So and then
hopefully,
and then so you've got another month, and then in the middle of October it comes back, right? So you don't have
no snow usually, you know, November.
Oh, is that right?
You know, I blew the system out about the end of October last year.
Yeah. So you blow it out? Do you get all the water out of it somewhere?
I use an air compressor blow all the lines out so that they can't freeze up on it.
Yeah, because they sure would, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they're only, you know, 14 to 18 inches down, but...
Yeah, a little thin line, it would absolutely freeze.
And these heads will retract down when, and then they'll come up when you turn on the water?
Right, they come up with pressure.
Yeah.
All right, so you said you had a neighbor that helped you with it. What kind of, I mean, I assume you're totally blind?
Pretty close, yeah.
Pretty close. So what did you do in this? I mean, what was your thing?
I mapped it out.
Okay.
And worked with him on the trencher. Then I have one of those Braille yardstick things that I measured the depth of the trenches to make sure he wasn't going too deep.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I ran a good majority of the line.
Okay.
There's no reason why you couldn't run it in the line.
It's just a matter of uncoiling it and running it in the trench and keeping it there.
Laying it in the trench and keeping it there.
And then we worked together. I mean, you know, putting the heads in was kind of a four-hand job, really.
So what lengths does this poly come in? I mean, are you talking, you say you uncoil it. What?
300 feet.
And so, in other words, if you start on, like, you've got the end of a system, end of a station, I think they call them.
Right.
And you got a sprinkler over there, and so you're going to have the sprinklers at the end. So you're going to come down, 50 feet, and then you splice into your poly and put another sprinkler and...
Yeah,
riser.
Basically, the way I did it is I ran main lines through,
okay,
and then I teed off the main lines to do each sprinkler head.
I got you. Okay.
Okay.
So, you know, I've got one main line that goes all the way around from the back of my house all the way around to the driveway.
But you still had to cut into it. You still had to cut into it to put the tee.
Yep.
Is my point. That's what I'm saying. So at certain points, you had to you take your roll of poly. You have to slice it and then put in your connector or T or whatever you're putting in and then go off from there.
And it's it, you know, the way the pipe cutters work is pretty easy for to cut poly anyway, you know, with the it's a ratchet type of thing.
Do you glue your joints or clamp them?
That's what I was going to ask.
We clamped them.
Clamp them, okay.
With like stainless steel clamps or something or what?
Yeah, they're just you know they're like a buck a piece, and they you know the screw on kind of clamp.
Okay.
Or you can do a pinch clamp.
Yeah.
And you need two or three to a fitting, three to a thing, to a T.
Yeah, there'd be
no,
three to a T.
You know, for probably 2 years, two full seasons now, I think. And,
uh-huh.
And so this spring will be the third season.
Yeah.
Last year I didn't have any leaks in it when I started it up in the spring. We'll see what happens this year.
But, we'll see what happens this year. So your son's mowing lawns for extra money.
Yeah, he's trying.
That's good.
Well, last year he was a little young yet. I think this year he might get a little more business.
Obviously, yeah. He can see.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wonder, Jeff, back on the trencher, did y'all have a walk behind or a ride?
We used a walk behind.
Well, yeah, okay. See, I am faced with, I'm a fairly good partial. Is it going to be user friendly?
I think for a partial, it would be as long as you know exactly where you're going. You know, my suggestion for a high partial that could do something like that
right.
would be to spray the ground with fluorescent orange spray paint.
Okay. I mean, I'm going to be going in a straight line, but like the depth, how do you keep the depth, like if you're going on a grade anyway, but I want a 2-foot trench, is there something
there's an adjustment on it.
And so
you have to kind of, you know, trench a little bit and make to see how far it is. Some of them have a better adjustment than others. Newer ones do.
Doesn't it look like kind of a giant chainsaw?
Yeah.
I mean, it has that big thing going out there. It's really what it does, right?
Yeah. It's like a big chain or a big auger.
And so is it got two kind of back wheels, that kind of like a tiller, an oversized tiller?
Yep. And then as it digs, it'll move the system.
Right.
Really?
Okay,
yeah.
And so what, if you're walking behind it, obviously it puts
you're going
the
backwards.
Dirt. Oh, okay, that's what I was.
Or you can turn around and, you know, hold on to it.
And then what was the dirt doing? Yeah, so you're actually.
It goes up to the side.
So if I want to go from A to B, my back is facing B.
It doesn't have to. You could, you know, I mean, it's wide enough. You can just kind of turn around and walk with it. And,
yeah,
you know,
put
let
your
it
back.
Push you.
Yeah, okay, interesting.
So it must not be that hard to hold on to necessarily.
No, it's just got like a snowblower handle on it, you know,
really?
It's a wider handle.
And did you say as it digs, it moves itself? I mean,
yes.
It just slips along the ground.
Yep.
What a deal. So if a blind guy wanted to do it, he could run a rope from A to B and follow the rope with his...
He could. I mean, that would be another way to do it. But, you know, for someone who's partial, you know, that can see brighter colors, I'd spray a fluorescent orange paint on the ground. You're going to dig it up anyway.
That's an excellent idea.
Really?
You know, that I'd never thought about. I mean, I sometimes go by line of sight. But, see, that just is super. I happen to have the can of paint that you hold upside down to spray. It's just for that purpose.
That'd be perfect. You know? That'd be perfect for doing
that. You know, we sprayed the areas where we were going to put the heads in the beginning so we knew where everything was going to be.
Yeah.
Even though my neighbor could see, you know, it was a matter of putting things in and being the best we could. You know, I mean, it was hodgepodge. It was neighbors getting along and drinking afterwards. But
I can't imagine that.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe, isn't it?
It is right now. Well, you talk like you've done some other projects. What else mischief have you gotten into?
Well, I keep planning to... when I built my house, I didn't do anything to the basement, or when I had my house built. And so I keep planning on the idea of putting some perimeter walls up with insulation to keep the cold out, you know, from the concrete.
Yeah.
And, you know, that kind of stuff. But it just keeps, you know, the money that it takes to do it is another story.
I bet.
Yeah,
I guess that's true. You got both working? Your wife working?
Yeah, she's working.
Good. That's to keep her working. That kid mowing lawns this summer will help.
All that money coming in, huh?
Yeah, we can have him pay rent then.
Yeah,
but
I'll
think,
bet.
You know, one of the things that, you know, as far as, you know, being blind and putting, you know, the studs together and that kind of thing, keeping them as straight as you can. And,
yeah.
And, you know, I've never done that kind of work before, so that'll be interesting.
You can, it's doable. I mean, you can do it as a totally blind person. You just need to be decide what you want the centers to be and go with it. You can do that.
And that, you know, and I've got, and I went out, I did go out and buy one of the, you know, the 24 and 16 inch long angle so that I got that.
Is your basement, does it have a concrete floor?
Yeah.
And so you're wanting to, you're going to, and it has concrete walls, and you're wanting to go in there now and put wood frame walls and then insulate and cover.
I want
to put foam insulation in.
Yeah, and then, but you're going to build wood frame walls, right, and then cover it with like sheetrock or the equivalent. All right, see, that would be, in my, I would suggest to you, and you could build your wall on the ground, the whole and wall, and then stand it up, stand that.
I think I've got plenty of room to do that down there, and I think.
And you know, with a concrete wall behind it for support, these walls aren't really going to support anything but the insulation and the sheetrock.
Not the perimeter walls,
right.
No.
And so I would go 24-inch centers, which is easy to do. That you hit on a four foot, and you'll hit on 8 foot. And so sheetrock is, 8 feet long, or any whatever decking or boards you try to use. And so. And you really wouldn't, you would need the plate down the floor, but you wouldn't necessarily need a double plate on the top. So, 2x4 on top, 2x4 on bottom, and 24-inch centers would be easy to do.
Yeah, I think I would agree with you. I've just never done it, so, you never know. But I was also thinking about using like a nail gun instead of trying to.
Oh, obviously.
I highly recommend nail guns.
Yeah, you've got a compressor, don't you?
No, but that'd be an excuse to buy one, wouldn't it?
It'd be a good excuse to buy one. I don't know that I would. First thing I'd do is buy a chop saw and cut 100 pieces the length you want. Like if you're going to go 24-inch centers, you'd cut a 23-inch piece.
Mm-hmm.
I'd cut a jillion of those 23-inch pieces before I did anything. So that you can get the spacing right. If you cut them all, set it, make a jig, cut them all the same length. I mean, you're gonna. This will be great fun. But yeah, you need an air compressor and a nail gun the size of the one. You don't need a big. Does he need a big framing gun?
No, you need. But you can also buy a little pancake compressor for less than
about $125.
Little nail gun
to be able to buy one big enough to where I can use my own compressor to blow out my sprinklers in the fall.
Well,
instead of borrowing my neighbors all the time.
I bought a little. I think it's 2.5 or 3 horse. It's a 5.5 gallon compressor. It lows, I think, for $139 or $140. It's oilless, oil free. It is a sweet running compressor. It dries my nail gun. But on your studs now, you're not holding up a lot, but you still need a framing gun. But you can buy one of them. I looked at a DeWalt the other day, $229.
We got $350 in the whole thing. And the thing about a little compressor like that, you say it's not much of a compressor, but the only person ever going to be running a nail gun, you're not going to have 3 or 4 carpenters off of it.
No.
Just you.
Absolutely not.
Just you. So all you need is that little old pancake. I'd compressor. When I first bought mine, I thought, my brother-in-law talked me into buying it, and I thought, this is a waste of time and money. But I wouldn't do without it. I don't know how I ever live without the, there's always a flat tire on the car, or we want to do this, or we want to do that.
Blow up swimming pool floats.
Yeah. I blow up swimming pool floats all the time with it. I use it, first thing I do when I go in the shop to do anything is turn the compressor on.
Yeah, you'll need it sooner or later. So
you're going to need it.
I'm always working on bike tires and everything else. And
how many kids you have? Just the one boy?
One. One's enough.
That one boy, but once the neighborhood finds that old Jeff will air up their tires, there'll be plenty of kids around.
That's no problem for me.
Well, you ought to start that this winter. That'd be a good wintertime project. Get down there in the basement and finish it.
How tall are you in your basement? How tall would your walls be?
They're going to be about, I haven't measured them for a while. I can't remember for sure. I think they're 7.5 feet.
Yeah.
Okay, with one stud and one top plate. So you might look into pre-cut studs for an 8-foot wall, but that's using a double plate on the top to make an 8-foot wall. So if you were close to that, you can buy them already cut.
You're going to have to cut a little off because it's not quite an 8-foot wall.
So you got to have a chop saw. Do you have a chop saw?
No, I got a circular saw.
No, you need a chop saw.
Miter saw.
You need a miter saw.
For sure.
There's no question about it. That'd but, you know, you don't need a double plate on the top. It's not. You're not supporting anything.
Right. and then just set you a jig on your miter saw, and you could cut every one of them the same length. Just pitch you a bump board down on the end, you know, to where when you put that, you're cutting off 2 inches or an inch and a half.
What I did, I measured from my blade to the wall of the shop, and I put a little block on the wall that would hold up the other end of the board. And I just laid, and when Don and I built this sidewalk, I had to cut probably 100 boards the same length. So I measured from the wall to the blade exactly what I wanted, put a little block on the wall, the height, and wedged one end against the wall on this little block and the other resting on my saw, and just stood there and cut them till, you know, the day, you know.
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, you have to have those exact if you're making frames for concrete stuff. So.
Yeah. On his sidewalk, Jeff, we're still trying to figure out how he calculated the curve in it. The little curve.
Well, I tell you what we did. We didn't realize that curve was going to be there until we got about halfway through, and we were using ring shank nails. And we opened a beer and talked about it, and I just said, to hell with it. We'll just go on. It was nothing. Ring shank nails, you ain't going to get them out. You know,
somebody somebody commented, says, what do you think it looks like? And somebody said it looked like a blind guy built it.
Yeah.
Which
was
exactly right. And it turned out really neat. It looks like he did it on purpose.
We built a little fence that kind of curves around with it, and it looks all right. It's, you know, Shaw and I one afternoon.
We've been walking on it about 5 years or so.
It was our little project. So this winter,
sidewalk going to your pool.
That's a sidewalk coming from the big house to the studio.
Oh, okay.
The studio's in a separate building, and they're I don't know what, 30 feet apart.
Oh goodness, about 40 or 50.
You think 50 feet apart? So you got to walk. You want a little walk? You could walk through the mud, but there's, you know, once you need a. A little walk. So you come out and come off the little place where I cook onto this little wooden sidewalk, and it leads you to the porch of the building where the studio is. And, Mr. Shaw and I built it. We squared up one side and let the other side run wild because you can't see the other side, really. So we just let the other side run wild. But it all
isn't that what you do in Texas, though?
Just let it run wild?
Yeah.
Man, you do that in Texas.
Well, his studio is and house actually has like rough cedar siding, and so the little walk with the rail matches. It looks
cool.
It just all
fits. It looks like it ought to be there, and just by sheer accident. Then, of course, we went to Lowe's and bought some little fence with posts, and they already had notches cut in this post, and you just fit this fence together.
Yeah, those are kind of neat, aren't they?
It's a little double rail fence. Looks like old-fashioned, like a corral fence or something.
Sure.
But you got to get, the thing about it is you got to get the post in just the right place. You can't be off because, you know, they're measured, they're calculated. So you got to do it.
It's amazing, you know, all of the stuff that's so prefab anymore. That you can buy at Lowe's or anywhere like
or Home Depot. Just walk through there and look. I spend all day.
Me too. We have Menards here, which is kind of a regional thing.
Uh-huh.
In addition to Lowe's and Home Depot, but basically, you know, I get in there and I'm like, okay, see you next week.
Yeah, I could spend the entire.
My wife steals my wallet and the checkbook when I go in there.
Well, that way, the problem with being blind is you don't know what's available. And when you walk around Lowe's, and you know, next time you think of a project, you know what you can buy.
You bet.
And another
thing that I'm looking at doing is putting in a wood floor in my dining area and kitchen. Just because the carpet that's in the house when we bought it, it's kind of cheap, and so we want to tear that out and maybe put a wood floor in. And I know they got the floors now that pretty much just snap together when, you know, you glue them in and snap them together.
They do, but there's a lot to that, more than you think.
Started researching it.
Might do some reading on that. We've got that kind of wood that's tongue and groove wood that snaps together, but you have to do it at just the right temperature. And the house needs to be the right humidity, as they say. If you don't do that, then it'll buckle on you. Ours, you know, they were going to do it, and they were going to do it, and they were going to do it. And the guy said, "Well, you know, I'll do it for you now, but it won't stay." And he waited and did it right, and it's been there 14 years and never had 1 minute's problem with it. And that stuff is difficult. My house lady that comes once a week and helps clean a little bit. gave one of the dogs, but when we had a small dog and a big dog, she gave the big dog a bone in the backyard. The little dog came in the house, and we were going to give her a bone and let her go out front so they wouldn't fight over bones. She gave the little dog the bone, and the little dog dropped the bone and put a big grease stain on this wood. And, brother, you don't just clean it with SOS pads.
Nope.
You've got to, you use a special, you know, we called somebody, finally, to clean it. So it's difficult to clean, but Luann loves it. I mean, it's, she swears by it.
If you, I don't know if y'all have a Sam's up there, but periodically, our Sam's right now has tons of that stuff. We've, our son-in-law... And just put it down in a room probably 15 by 13, kind of a extra spare guest room upstairs.
Yeah.
And if, you know, if you're going over wood, I think you do one thing. If you're going over concrete, you have to put the rubber thing
down.
Yeah,
it's going to be over wood.
But then if you calculate it right, really the last board, you know, you're going to have to rip the boards vertically, you're just going to be cutting ends off a board until the last board that you may have to rip. But and if you allow yourself, they have neat trim that comes with it, similar to a quarter round or shoe molding. And so actually, if you put it down, like Phil says, in the right temperature and the right conditions and fairly loosely, it I believe a blind guy could do it.
I think so. Jeff, you got a lot of interesting stuff going on.
It's never ending. But
if you ever get the money,
I prefer to try to do as much as I can myself versus trying to either hire it done, which, you know, like in a sprinkler system situation, would have cost me another $2,500.
Yeah, and what'd you spend on it?
Where it's feasible.
What did you figure you spent on the whole sprinkler system?
About $1,000.
And it would have been $3,000 if you
had. It would have been $3,500 if I'd have hired somebody else.
Whoa,
I didn't go the automatic turn on. I fixed mine on risers where I can turn them on myself. But I mean, I've got less than $500 in mine. I put in a 10 sprinkler system.
Well, if you figured $2,500 you saved, if she lets you spend $1,250 of that for tools, you got a chop saw, a framing gun, and a compressor, and it's time to do the basement.
That's right.
What do you think?
And then we'll have a hell of a basement when we're done.
That's right.
Yeah.
We'll have a beautiful basement.
Yeah.
Jeff, sir, I hope we get to meet you someday. Come to our gathering in Texas.
Yeah. I've been reading about that, and that looks intriguing.
Well, you bring Mama and y'all come to the gathering in Texas, and we'll play you a little Texas music.
Do you play any kind of music instrument?
I play the guitar a little bit.
I thought you might be an accordion player.
No, I'll leave that up to you.
Right. You come on, and I'll bring a Martin guitar for you to play, okay?
Love to have that.
All right.
Come on down, Jeff.
Come on down. Thank you, Jeff Kissaker from South Dakota with us this afternoon. Back with our exciting blind handyman. Hang on.
It's somewhere over here. Oh, God, I've got my cane caught in something.
Pardon me, sir. I don't know how to tell you this, but the end of your cane is stuck in my...
Why bother shopping the big discount stores when you can shop from the comfort of your own home at BlindMySmart.com?
Hi, this is Dale Campbell, president of Blind My Smart. If you can't find what you're looking for today, check back tomorrow. We're adding new products every day.
Blind My Smart, with thousands of products at a completely accessible website. Our address is BlindMySmart.com. Again, that's www.BlindMySmart.com.
This is the Blind Handyman. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here is more of the show with Don Shaw.
All right, we're back.
We're back and we're talking about.
Oh, are we back?
Yeah, we are.
Excuse me.
I don't know. Golly, were we on?
Just saying, I don't give a damn.
I'm just hashing around these pump motors and things.
Ting, ting, ting. Well, the mic must be on.
We've got to pay more attention to our engineer, don't we?
I think we do. Who's the engineer?
Who's he? Yeah.
Where?
Like Lou Ann said, I'm going to go load the dishwasher. And she walked in the kitchen and said, where is the dishwasher?
And then, of course, you step forward.
I'm the dishwasher man. That's me. That's what I do.
That's what I do at my house.
I'm the dishwasher man. I load it. Susie loaded it while she was down here. I did let her do that. Wasn't it nice?
Yeah.
Of course, we just bought a new one. I forget where I bought it and what I paid for it.
Recently? Days?
Two weeks ago.
And they installed it?
They installed it.
Right.
I had Action Service Center install it. I bought it at from Dixon's.
Right.
And they didn't have anybody to install them, so I let the Action guys install it. I forget what he charged me to install it. But it is so much quieter than the old one that it's just...
Big improvement.
We've had good luck with Action, right? They've changed owners, right?
They've changed owners, but these guys are just as sharp as the other guys that were. But, new dishwasher, put it in. I couldn't believe it. You know, I walked in the kitchen. Is it really running? And it is. It's so much quieter. The only thing that I don't like about it is that it doesn't have the other one had a silverware tray that attached to the door. This one just has one that kind of sits in the bottom tray.
Yeah, that's over to the right.
Well, you can put it anywhere.
Yeah, ours does too.
Newer design.
Yeah.
So, is that new?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Well, but ours is practically new. I mean, within 2 years. But I'll tell you what problem I've had: you pull the tray out, the little rollers come off of the bottom. Like I've caught the puppy or two with the. I'll go. Emily handed me something. She said, "What is this?" And I said, "I don't know." And I put it up on the mantle, and then I sat down and I thought, that goes to the dishwasher. No wonder I couldn't get that tray to roll.
That hadn't happened. But I did notice that this dishwasher is bigger than the last one in that the skillet doesn't bump the top tray. I can stand with a big glass up in the top tray.
Right.
And this one just seems to have
more
capacity, but it's so much quieter. Anyway, went out the other day. My pool, we lost it in the hurricane. In the storm that we had, which was in September, and we never did recover it. We hadn't even tried. So Luann decided the other day, she had a guy here that was going to help her, and she decided, let's work on the pool.
Well, could I preface this?
You may preface this, sir. With what?
Since September, you have not turned on the pump.
No.
Okay. I think that's a key.
Well, it went off in September, and I went around there and turned it off so nothing would happen. When your electricity's off, you turn everything off you can because you don't want to get a power spike. So I went around and turned it off. It has not been turned on since September. So I went around and kicked it on. Just a big B-flat hum. And I didn't want to tune my guitar. It was a B-flat, however. So I turned it off and kicked it a couple times and fooled with it. Well, I finally ended up taking the 6 bolts out that hold the motor attached to the impeller on, which was good because I got a chance to clean the impeller. So I cleaned the impeller and took a pair of vice grip pliers and grabbed the shaft of the motor behind where it's threaded and turned it. Took a minute to get it moving, but I turned it a couple of full turns, turned it back on, and bingo, it came right on. Another story about this motor. This motor, I think I moved in here in 91, and I put this motor in 94. The other motor had gone out, and I took it out and had it rebuilt and brought it back, and it didn't work. It got hot, real bad hot. So the guy who rebuilt it said, well, there's something else wrong with that motor that I'm not aware of. Why don't I just buy you a new one? So he bought me a new one at cost, and that was in 94. That's been 12 years ago.
It's been a long time.
Still kicking along.
I've never gotten that long out of a motor before, so buying a new one may be a good thing.
Yeah, maybe.
And I ought to find out what the brand. Anyway, my swimming pool motor runs just fine, but it sure did scare me because I figured $150.
Yeah, I figured it was time.
I figured it was time to go replace it. And
well, the Donald over there just bought a new motor.
Yeah,
a year or two.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, but it kept running. But it sounded like hell. Screeching loud.
But you had that was the first time that motor had been replaced since
I don't know when.
And y'all know.
I can tell you when, because I replaced it.
y'all know the history of this.
Sure I do. We've had, that pool has been in the family since 1978.
Okay, so is that the first replacement?
No, no, my second replacement. We usually get about 5 years out of them.
Okay.
Usually get about 5 years. We replaced it the year Houston moved in that house, which was 97. Tommy, wasn't it?
Okay, I think so.
No, you moved out in 97 because we quit doing ACC. You moved in 95 and we replaced it then.
Okay, so Don got, my goodness, 8 years.
You got a good run out of that.
Got
motor.
A little while, not real long out of that first motor, you know. But I mean, long enough, yeah. About 8 years out of it. I mean, I guess that's pretty good considering.
I usually get about five.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I guess they're making it. Maybe they're making them better now. You think?
Man, when that motor's bearings started going out, though, and I mean, naturally, it was on Labor Day weekend or something when everything was closed. But man, I mean, you could hear that you could hear that motor in the front yard. It was so loud
when you drove up. You could hear it.
It was just intense.
Yeah.
I mean, like a lawnmower. It sounded
when you drove up to the house.
Yeah, you could hear.
You begin hearing the swimming pool motor. Well, those of you who don't have a swimming pool are lucky. I'd give you mine if I could.
You'd ship it to them. Huh?
I'd ship that sucker to them right now.
And all who come with it.
Well, I turned it off this because she didn't do anything over the weekend, so I turned it. Now she'll for about Friday she'll say, well, let's go get it done with Chloe and work. You know, if you're not going to work on the pool, if you're not going to do anything to it, there's no point putting the chlorine in. It won't do itself.
Yeah, it's going to be a project.
I'm not interested.
It's going to be a
All right, I guess we'll
project.
Go. Thank you, Donald Shaw.
Yep.
Appreciate your help, Don Patterson.
Splash Day's at your house April the 1st.
I think we're having it at your house this year, big boy.
We'll make it.
I don't think we'll have it by the bunkhouse at your house.
Yeah.
Houston,
yes, sir.
Wonderful job.
Thank you.
Try to alert us when we back on the air.
Okay.
We'll try to tell you.
Yeah, we'll quit saying those dirty words. Like that.
All right, 152. I'm Phil Parris. He said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw.
The Blind Handyman is produced by Out of Market Productions. 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.